From the heart of Big Ten country, Los Angeles, California, Ryan Abraham and David Woods present the Podcast of Champions.
Welcome, everyone, back to the Podcast of Champions. I'm David Woods from Bruin Report Online, the UCLA site on the 24/7 Sports Network.
And I'm Ryan Abraham from USCFootball.com, the USC site on the 24/7 Sports Network. And together, we make the Podcast of Champions, talking all things Big Ten football. It's been a minute since we've had a show.
A hot minute. Mr. Woods,
2 months.
Has it been that long?
Yeah. We are live on YouTube. And we're here. We're ready to go.
We're fired up. We're ready to go.
The first comment, storage units picking. Jesus, did Ryan get lost in Tahiti for the past 2 months or something? No, I haven't even been on vacation. I went to Boston for like Easter to see my family. I've not even been on vacation. I've been around.
Have you really?
Yeah, I haven't gone.
No vacations.
I mean, like Boston for Easter, that's about it.
Damn.
Yeah. We do want to hear from you. Big10cast@gmail.com. We got a few emails, which averages about, you know, once every 3 weeks we got an email, but that's okay. No calls or texts during it. No one called us while we were out.
Nobody checked on us. Nobody was like, hey, you guys okay?
Are you dead? What's
going
on?
Are you alive?
424-532-0678 is the number. You can tweet at us, B1G Podcast, and use that Apple Podcasting app. You can do Spotify too. Leave us a 5-star rating. We love that. But if you want to leave a review, there's only one place to do that, and that's on the Apple Podcasting app.
That's right, baby.
Used to be called iTunes. I think the first one we got is from Denny Killingham. This was last month.
Yes, this is from last month from Denny.
Okay.
Once again, I have once again acquired another phone to leave a 5-star review. I haven't even been listening to this show, but Ryan and David haven't been producing anything new anyways. It's a win-win. In the past, I have bribed, coerced, and even threatened others in order to leave numerous 5-star reviews. Shout out to Jasso, my friends, family, and apologies to that poor teenager. I almost won a gift card, so your inconvenience was worth it. But I have developed a new plan that my attorney approves. This time, I have applied, interviewed, and accepted a new job. In turn, I received a new phone, created a new podcast account, and I am now able to leave this beautiful 5-star review. Are you asking, why would anyone go through such lengths just to bolster a struggling podcast about Disney characters? For the same reason you are listening now, boredom. Be honest, you're not getting unique insights or good gambling advice from these two SoCal sociopaths. No, you listen to the POC to remind yourself that life could be worse. You could be living next to an airport as your beard goes gray and your face slowly turns to paralysis. You listen because you need to be reminded that fancy fishing trips and foreign vacations would result in your eventual encounter with punchable faces. Do you really want to go to jail again? The Podcast of Champions. Come for the college football talk. Stay because you are eternally waiting for the college football talk to happen. 5 stars.
Nice. Well, we should get some applause for that.
Yeah, that's a gift card.
I don't have any more gift cards. So we're
all done?
We're done with the gift cards.
Oh, sorry about that.
Yeah. Maybe again.
Yeah. Hello. This is from Fitbit Returned. We haven't heard from Brian or Daniel in quite some time. I wonder if they ever had that lunch together, or if Ryan is riverboat gambling, or what David's thought on the new QB are. Whatever happened to this once middling podcast? Miss the pod. Hope to hear from you guys soon. And as always, go Ducks.
Did we do the lunch?
I can't remember.
I think we did. I think we did. I know it's been a while. Yeah. I think we did.
I think we did. It was when we met up with Chris. We did that.
Oh, yes, yeah.
It was a breakfast,
great.
A brunch.
Yeah. Like famous Chris. Like literally some famous actor comes to meet us. There's the only one that met us for brunch, which is hilarious.
Yep. I know. Okay. It's very funny. This is from Becton9965. Goodbye. The POC used to be my favorite podcast back in the day. It seems like just a couple of months ago when Roger and Daniel recorded their last and final podcast. RIP, POC. You will be missed. Reports of our demise, I won't say we're greatly exaggerated, but mildly.
Yeah.
We're still here. We're still alive.
We're here. We're both in town, I think.
Yeah.
Did you go anywhere?
I've gone nowhere.
Yeah. We can talk about this at the top if you want, like where we're at, like what's going on.
Sure.
We had a lot of fun doing a Pac-12 show, you know? It was just, everything worked. It was the Pac-12. You just always getting kicked on, and we were like the representatives there to make fun of it too, but also defend it. And when it broke apart, you know, it was tough. We weren't sure what to do. Still want to cover the old Pac-12 teams. We end up going to covering the Big Ten. And there's a lot of teams out there, 18. And we watched a lot of games, and it was a lot. Like, I think it took a lot out of both of us to cover all this stuff. And there just weren't as many fun stories, and we weren't as connected with everything like we were with the Pac-12. So I think it's sort of like figuring out what the heck we want to do going forward, which I'm not sure is what the answer is.
Yeah, I don't know either. It was not as – because, you know, I mean, we don't get – I know. We don't get much compensation for this. Right. I would describe it as minimal at best. And for the longest time, doing it just for the fun of it was the fun of it, and that was fine. I got to tell you, all cards on the table, and I know we've got some listeners from some of this stuff, but without a history of caring about, like, say, Iowa-Rutgers, I don't want to watch Iowa-Rutgers. and this, you know, as much as we say we don't do any work for this show and we don't care about it and all that kind of stuff, like, we still did try to watch these games, and it's not a, like, it just wasn't a great and enjoyable way to spend a Saturday a lot of times. So yeah, we don't know. We're going to see if we get re-energized over the summer. You know, we're going to head into, what is it? Big Ten Media Days in July,
in Las Vegas, at least
in Vegas. And that tends to energize us,
yes,
and also nearly kill us. so we'll see. I mean, I think we're just kind of, it's the off season. I think on top of everything else, we joke about the spring games and how Ryan loves them, but like the lack of spring content from a lot of these teams, just generally, like, people have not only ended spring games, but a lot of them have closed a lot of spring practices now. So like the actual viable information you get out of this stuff is much more limited than it was before. So yeah, it makes the off season even more of a chore than it was before. So yeah,
it's tough. It is a lot of teams, like, and I think 11 of the 18 didn't do like a traditional spring game. Oh, by the way, Amy in the chat says college football wasn't as fun last season without you. Yeah, it wasn't as fun without the Pac-12. College football wasn't as fun without the Pac-12. But yeah, there's not been a bunch of spring games. There's certainly a de-emphasis on that. So, and to recap, like 18 different spring practices, trying to get storylines from all that, it was a little more manageable when we had, you know, we covered two of the teams and there was like 10 others we could reach out to. Like, now, man, holy cow, we're reaching out to 16 different people to kind of get, hey, what's going on with Michigan State or what's going on with Purdue?
Yeah.
And it's definitely more.
Guys, I couldn't even remember that Stanford had already hired a coach when we were only covering 12 teams. Now you want me to like name players on 18 different ones? Get out of here.
It's tough. But the only reason we are here are because of you guys. Like, it's like we've had, and I think, you know, continue to have such a great audience, like so many funny inside jokes, so many interesting tidbits that have come from the shows over the years, them, you guys remembering more stuff than what we say. We forget what we've said and you guys remember it and bring it back up and all that stuff. But the emails and everything, there's just been so fun. So I don't know. We'll see. Are we on life support at this show? I don't know. Are we bounding out the door, like, you know, cured of cancer? No, we're not that either. We're somewhere in between.
We're still determining. We're still determining next steps.
Yeah, but we're here now, mainly for one reason, because we have huge. Where's the breaking news thing? I have it over here. There have been two quarterbacks that have embraced just the S. We've been, how long have we been on the air?
47 years.
No, it's like, I think it's, we're in the 10 range, right? Like, we're getting close to 10.
10 will be, yes, it's this month, actually.
10, okay, 10 years.
I think we started recording in May, or was it July? I can't remember which.
Something like that. Yeah. Okay, so we've been doing the show for a decade, 10 years. For 80% of that, we've had either Jake Browning or Cam Rising as quarterbacks. I mean, now, a lot of that was overlap, but you know, each were there their respective programs for 12 years. So it just whatever that was.
Yep.
But we now have a Cam Rising retirement. So it was, yeah. How many years? Cam, 7 years for Cam Rising?
It could have been eight. Yeah. Like he could have played again, but he did not.
He didn't break Jake Browning's record was nine, right? So he I think Jake Browning.
I thought
was there
Jake
longer.
Browning got another year. Is he back next year?
He could be. Maybe the Cleveland Browns drafted him.
Oh, right.
Eighth round, yeah.
But it's one of those like amateur drafts, right? Like he can go back.
Yeah. He doesn't have an agent yet, so yeah. He can go back.
Cam Rising. The thing to remember about Cam Rising is that he's been at Utah since 2020. But that is not where he started his college career. Cam Rising began things. Let's go to the 247 profile. He began things in 2019 at Texas.
Yeah.
Redshirted that year, then moved to Utah.
Yeah.
Then had like the equivalent of like a normal person's long college career. And then still could have had another year.
Do you remember we covered like the quarterback battle? It was Cam Rising and I can't remember who. Amy's in the chat. She might remember. Who was he battling? I think it was like a three-way battle maybe.
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
Uh-huh.
And then he sort of emerged as like he was like the gamer. He wasn't the highest ranked dude. Yeah. But yeah, then he played there forever.
Yeah. It's been a lot. Here's the thing and the funny kind of thing. It's actually kind of sad. He only really played two full seasons of college football. Like he played and started every game in 2021 and 2022. He only played in one game in 2020 and he only played in three games in 2024, missed all of 2023. So he's just been there forever.
Yeah.
Except where he hasn't been forever, where he didn't attend last year, was media days.
That's true. Yes.
And this bothered you.
No,
greatly.
No, he didn't. He go. He
that
went
was 2 years ago. 2 years ago.
He
sorry.
Went 1 year when he didn't play.
It was 2 years ago when wasn't it he and Brant Keithy? I no, want to say both of them.
I kept saying that, but then I was corrected. It wasn't Keithy. Didn't go to media day, but they both were like represented.
No, I think
like,
it was Kyle Whittingham who was asked about Keithy and made it like, oh yeah, he's going to be back.
Yeah.
At that point,
and Cam Rising was at media day and didn't play the whole season. Yeah,
yeah, that was amazing.
And two Rose Bowls under his belt, but hand injury. He is medically retired, but yeah, he could have came back again. And it's one of those things where he's a legend, and for Big Ten people, like this is a team we used to cover, and for many many years we had talked about Cam Rising. I mean, when he beat USC in the Coliseum, like I took a picture of him. He was on the field by himself with a phone in his hand, and I didn't know, but he was FaceTiming his mom. And it went on, you know, they got around, you know, on social media and stuff, but it was just like, yeah, I just snapped a picture of him from like the press box, or as I was walking back up at the press box, he was just alone on the field, just like kind of soaking it all in. He was very likable. He was a very likable dude, gamer. You know, if you watched the Knicks beat the Celtics last night. He was like the Jalen Brunson type. Like he's just like, oh man, we're just going to take things over. I'm just going to, you know, put guys on my back. And, but I think for Utah fans and, you know, Amy can kind of, you know, like he's a legend. Like he'll never have, if you could buy beer in Utah, he would never buy a beer in Utah.
You can buy beer in Utah. Stop it.
He wouldn't have to, but they were also ready for him to go. You know, is that one of those things? Like, is that fair? I ask Amy or any of the Utah fans. I think they were like, it's time for the Cam Rising era to end, but he's a legend. Like, we love him, but we need to move on.
Yeah. I think that's right.
Yeah.
It's been a long time. Who does win the I think it's still Jake Browning. I think Jake Browning
I think
is
it was
still
nine solid the, years at
the,
Washington.
But he's still like the number one POC quarterback.
We had so many Jake Browning jokes, like the noodle arm, the whatever it was, and like he yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, Cavs were a lot of positive stuff, not that Browning was.
I liked when we had Sam Darnold and what kind of goo he excreted from his hands to make him fumble all the time. That was fun, too.
That was good. That was shorter lived. Like, we got a lot more mileage out of Jake Browning.
Just because he was there so long.
Jake Browning, the longest mileage. So we had a comment. Cam Rising is now the offensive coordinator of his high school and helped Brady Smiegel. Let's hope. Brady doesn't get the injury bug. Oh, that's the quarterback that's going to Michigan, I think. Is that right? So yeah, but he's now working for his old high school.
Very exciting.
Yeah. Good stuff. But yeah, wish Cam the best. I remember talking to him at Media Days and stuff too. I did get upset that they brought him to Media Day and he didn't play the whole damn season. And you're like, oh, he's very close and blah, 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 blah. No. Let's see. Oh, Storage Unit Pickens says, are we getting dumped or something?
Mm-hmm. Possibly.
Let's get the podcast going. We need a solid 10 minutes about the new Pope.
Hey, new Pope. American Pope.
Yeah.
Pope from Chicago.
Who went to Villanova.
Yeah, a Nova Pope.
So Notre
Dame. Nova Pope, because he's a new Pope. You see what I did there?
I did. See, yeah.
You picked that up?
Pope Leo.
How do you feel about the Pope? You're a Catholic.
I am a Catholic. I guess there's 1.4 billion of us.
Yeah, you're going to represent all of them right now. Don't fuck this up.
Sorry, Griffin.
Sorry, Griffin.
You're still, he's probably 18 now. So yeah, he's probably fine. Show. I didn't know too much about it. I was like, I didn't look at like who was.
Were you watching the White Smoke?
No, I was watching. I think I was just doing work or whatever this morning. But yeah, no, it's interesting. First American Pope. I didn't realize there wasn't an American Pope. I did see Conclave like on the plane back from my Easter trip to.
How was Joseph, or not Joseph, Ray Fien?
He's good. Like I like him. I like his
name. Is that how you pronounce his name? Isn't that so messed up?
It sounds weird.
Why is Ralph Rafe in your stupid, messed up version of English?
That's what it is, a stupid. But he was good.
It's Ralph.
And I didn't know much about the whole conclave process, and so that was kind of interesting to see.
Like, or maybe I'm hearing it wrong. Maybe it's Ray, you know, and it's just Rafe. The Fien. I don't know, man.
Whatever.
Anyway, Conclave, good.
Conclave was good. It just kind of was like, just so happened that the Pope passed away. I'm like, oh, there's going to be a conclave. And then I didn't really follow it too closely. There was a couple.
Are you a passed away guy?
Passed away? Yeah, I said passed away.
You go with passed away?
Instead of what?
Dead? Died?
I mean, I think I've used both, but I think if you're trying to be sensitive, you'd say passed away.
Why?
I don't know.
Why is died so bad?
I'm not sure. It just seems it's a little harsher.
Is it?
Yeah.
Is it just shorter? Is that like, what it is?
So you were gallivanting around Europe, and you met a fine young woman, and she said some really nice things to you in like Spanish, and then she said some nice things to you in German. Like the words mean the same thing, but just sounds a little harsher.
Got it.
The German, you know.
So you're saying died is a little too Germanic. Passed away is very romantic.
That's what I just came up with.
I like it. I like that was good.
That was pretty good out of the blue.
Anything said in German is extremely harsh.
You'd be like, you are the most beautiful woman in the world. It's like, damn. Nice.
Yeah, so new Pope.
Yeah, and I guess it's funny. All the jokes on Twitter were funny about, you know, there's like, what if he's in the transfer portal? Or there was funny things about, well, if they don't come up with the vote in the next, you know, if there's black smoke this time, then each team gets to, you know, start at the 25 with two times, you know, all that. They kind of make the overtime jokes. But the fact that he's an American Pope from Chicago and not from Notre Dame is the big one. Like, Notre Dame's got to be upset, you know, and there's all these jokes about Chicago got a Pope before they got a 4,000-yard passer. You know, people were making, you know, America got a Pope before Oregon got a national championship. All this kind of jokes about, like, whatever. But, yeah, we got a Pope.
We got a Pope?
Yeah.
That's the
69, so
That's the second from the Western Hemisphere. Yeah, 69, nice. Second from the Western Hemisphere, right?
Yeah, because we had
Francis.
Yeah.
He was from South America, and now you've got this guy, Leo.
Leo, yeah.
Is that what we're going with?
I don't know.
Leo the 14th.
Interesting.
A lot of Leos.
But the fact that, you know, it seemed like every time a Pope gets elected, they were like 89 years old, and they're like, you just don't have much time left anyway. So the fact that he's 69, you might have him for a while.
That's true. That's true. Yeah. You might have a long Pope. Yeah, we haven't had a young Pope. Wasn't there a show called The Young Pope with Jude Law?
I don't know.
I think there was.
It might have been. And in Conclave, they end up electing a young pope.
How young?
He was pretty young, like 40s or something.
Damn.
Like, yeah. He was like a Middle Eastern pope. Like, he was like, in the, you know, so it was like a lot of political stuff. Like, did you want a more staunch Italian, like old school pope, or do you want a new age pope? Because then, you know, in the movie, like the pope was more progressive and they wanted to keep that going. And there was an Italian guy that didn't want to, and end up being a guy who was like in like Afghanistan and stuff, younger and everything. But
so my understanding of the popes is mainly from like the Middle Ages, where they were mostly like absolutely evil, power hungry psychopaths, like every other monarch in Europe. And so like I don't really get down with the modern popes that much. Like I don't really know the whole thing. Apparently Francis was pretty like out on the liberal side of churchy life,
but very much like help the poor, that kind, like, yeah, yeah. From my understanding. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And so he, apparently, this is my understanding, is he appointed like half the cardinals in his last like 10 years. So, I don't know. I don't know what this American guy's going to do, but it's going to be, interesting to see the, future of the Catholic Church.
Hey, we got a voicemail while we were recording. So,
hey, oompa.
I know. Let me see, put this, I'll add it in. We can get to it later and stuff. But yeah, thank you for the voicemail. Looks like this one's a perk one.
Is it about the Pope?
I don't know. We'll see what it is. Kevin says, I'm only here for the Zodiac Killer. Yeah, we need a, if he's watching, call in Zodiac Killer. I mean, he might be busy.
Actually, we might have been his grounding. Like, we weren't on the air for so long. I hope there hasn't been some ugliness. Thanks. So.
A spree, as you could say. Yeah, hopefully no sprees.
Hey, have you watched The Pit?
No. That's a good medical show. Right?
Oh, Pittsburgh. My God, it's so good.
Pittsburgh, right?
So good.
I'll have to check it out.
Okay. You got to check it out. All right. Really, really good. Recommend it to everyone.
I watched Landman. I like that.
Mm.
I don't have Verizon anymore, so I don't have Disney Plus, so I can't watch. I can't talk to you about anymore. What's the new one?
Andor. The second season of Andor, and you were like, meh, on the first season.
Because there wasn't enough lightsabers, and you were like...
There were no lightsabers.
Yeah.
Ryan?
Right.
That was the beauty of it. Imbecile.
Yeah, I'm the imbecile Star Wars guy that liked lightsabers. Like, yes, I want to see lightsabers. Andor had no lightsabers. I'm like, whatever, I don't care. So yeah, I can't watch any of those anymore. But Landman was good. Paramount Plus. So if you're not a member, if you haven't subscribed to the 247 site of your choosing, if you're a member, you can get Paramount Plus for free, which got some good stuff.
Just all cards on the table, only when you're off of your promo.
Yeah.
So if you sign up now, you'll be on the promo, which is 30% off. If you're doing it for the Paramount Plus, my recommendation would be to sign up for a monthly subscription because you'll be off the promo within 1 month.
Yeah.
If you're doing it for the, you know, combination effect, then you'll do an annual subscription for 30% off right now. And then at the end of this year, you would get Paramount Plus thrown in.
Yeah.
Just clarifying for everyone out there. All cards on the table.
I love it. I appreciate it. But yeah, you can watch Landman's on there. I'm watching 1923 too. I liked Yellowstone, but then once Kevin Costner was off, I didn't like Yellowstone. That was one of those shows where like I kind of hated half the actors and whatever. But yeah, we haven't talked about what shows we're watching or anything.
No.
It's weird. We do have some other news in the world of Big Ten football.
Big Ten football.
stop me if you've heard this before, but Michigan's going to suspend their head coach. Like... For the amount of success this program's had, they certainly lead the nation in games, you know, of your head coach being suspended.
Oh, for sure.
Unbelievable. Like, the year they won the national championship, Harbaugh was suspended for half the season.
Mm-hmm.
And you know who took his place?
Sharon Moore.
And you know who's getting suspended this year?
Sharon Moore.
Yeah. But not the first two games. Not when you have to get to play Oklahoma.
No.
Let's do the next two. Like, you'll pick which games.
Yeah.
But one thing, my understanding, I was listening to... I think it was Bruce and Stu, and they had Ralph Russo on. And I think they've changed the rules. So before, like, Harbaugh could be suspended, but he could still practice, you know, do all the stuff. He was still around the team. He just wasn't at the game. And if you're like, say you're Lincoln Riley, you're calling the plays, that hurts. You know, if you're not there, that matters. But if you're running the show, you're like the CEO, and you're not there for the 3 hours of the game, it doesn't matter as much. I think the suspension now is you're out for practice. You can't even be out there on the practice field. So it's has a little more teeth to it. But this is self-imposed by Michigan, and it's still stemming from the Conyers Stallions stuff from before, because Sharon Moore deleted text messages from Conyers Stallions. And I don't know, but more coach suspensions, which is crazy.
Yeah. Why is this happening now? Did they just discover the text messages?
Michigan hasn't even released the notice of allegations, but I think there's a, something in June or something coming up, like a hearing or a something with the committee. I don't know. It's crazy. Like this stuff takes forever.
Yeah.
This is years ago we're talking about, and things are still coming to light. And if the NCAA still, like, they could still take their time, and, you know, who knows when this is going to. But this is like a self-imposed thing. The NCAA could say that's not enough, whatever. Ralph Russo was saying it didn't sound like the text messages they found. I guess they recovered the text messages, and it's more about you shouldn't have deleted them because you're messing with our investigation and you're – but it wasn't like – he was telling Connor Stallions, go get me the signs from this game. Or it didn't sound like he was involved or it was a big part of it. It was just that they were doing this investigation. He deleted them instead of showing them. So I think that's – so in the end of the day, it might just be what it is.
Yeah, I mean, I think at like an individual level, I guess it sucks. I just kind of think, you know, Jim Harbaugh basically, you know, left college football, at least probably in part because of this. Like, the punishment's probably done. Like, it's fine. Like, everything's fine. And also, like, what is the crime, really? Doing a thing that, you know, most teams are doing in some way anyway? I mean, sending this freak out to a bunch of practices, maybe that's weird. Send him out to a bunch of road games wearing the opposing team's gear, that's weird. But, you know, whatever. It's all gamesmanship, right? Would all these coaches be closing their spring ball and spring football and spring games and all that kind of stuff if they didn't think everyone was doing this anyway?
Yeah, no, I think that's a good point.
I don't know. It's whatever. It's fine.
It's all kind of silly. But anyway, it's a weird thing for happen in May that your head coach is being suspended.
It also doesn't matter. I mean, it doesn't. Really
well, I mean, the
he
fact
doesn't
that,
need to be there on the game days.
But it's also during the week.
He like also doesn't need to be there during the practices. Yeah. You write a plan. Those guys go implement it. Most of the work is done in like film stuff anyway. It's fine.
All right. We'll see what's going on there. We also got some news. Michigan's rival, the Spartans. David, I don't know if you saw. They have fired their athletic director. So he has done, I think, in a few days, I think of May 11th. So he's a native of East Lansing. He played defensive back there and ran track for the Spartans. He was in the NFL for 3 years and, he's being let go. And so he had a statement. I'll read it. Let me pull it up here. Hold on. He said, I've been deeply humbled by the outpouring of support I've received over the past 24 hours from family, friends, colleagues, students, alumni, and donors. Your messages and calls have meant more than I can express. Throughout my career, I've consistently spoken up when I believed something was not right and guided by a commitment to protect students and uphold the best interests of the university. At times, those decisions have not aligned with individuals in positions of significant influence, aka huge boosters. Although I'm deeply saddened to be leaving the university, I'm proud of my record and the lasting impact of my work. As I continue to process the decision, I want to express my heartfelt gratitude to the Spartan community for their unwavering support. So my understanding is there was some big boosters, David, that were and one of them ran the collective, Steve St. Andre, a couple billionaires, and they were the ones, if you remember, Mel Tucker beat Michigan. They had that really good year. There was rumors that LSU was going to try to hire him or something, and they put up that 10-year, $95 million contract. So remember, he had one season at Colorado. Michigan State hires him. Like doubles the salary or whatever. We were covering with Colorado. Colorado finally got a coach that you thought like, oh, they were like 5-7, but they were way better than the year before. And so they beat Michigan and then they were 11-2 and get this 10-year, $95 million extension. And then they kind of stuck after that. And then, you know, I don't think the AD Alan Haller really wanted to give him that big extension, but that was pushed by the boosters. And then, of course, he has the sexual misconduct scandal and all that. And they end up firing for cause, and he's suing the school and all that stuff. But I think that was one of the big rifts in the beginning. Like, Haller didn't want to do that, and these boosters pushed it through and ended up being – didn't work out very well.
Yeah. I mean, without knowing the internal dynamics, it certainly sounds like he lost a conflict with the boosters, and also football's underperformance gave gave the administration enough, you know, enough wiggle to do this thing. They've had some booster issues now for several years. They had their NIL collective, I think, void all their contracts with their players prior to the 2023 season.
Well, after Tucker got fired, then I think it was like during that season is when they voided all the contracts. And that was the booster saying.
Yeah, and it's just sometimes – so booster dynamics are weird. Boosters a lot of times develop very personal relationships with the head football coach. And I wouldn't be shocked if there were some Tucker – I mean, the guys who gave him a $95 million extension, if there were some Tucker loyalists in that booster group who were not happy with what Haller did to essentially fire him with cause, which was the only move for Haller at that point, because you can't have, you know, he was going to be fired anyway. You got to get for cause in there so you can try to avoid paying him the $95 million that you owe him. Are they still in a lawsuit about that? I think they are.
Yeah, they are. So Tucker's suing them or whatever.
Yeah. So anyway, I mean, I don't think it's a surprise necessarily that he was fired. I think with football kind of being on a downturn and, you know, Mel Tucker suing the school for something that happened on his watch, even if it maybe wasn't in any way his fault, it's not a surprise. It does seem perhaps a little unjust. And also, I think he made a good hire in football. I think Jonathan Smith is, you know, still likely to work out there.
Yeah.
But, you know, circumstances being what they are and boosters being so very, very, very important to college football programs now more than ever, you can't be on the wrong side of them.
You can't. And I think you have to right now, especially, I mean, you just need the booster support to pay your players and just voiding contracts, that was going the opposite way. So if you lose your big booster support and you're not able to pay the NIL payments, and you know, it's going to be tough to run a football program. It just is. Like, you have to have that alignment there. He also had a big vision for like this Olympic sports complex thing, and you know, they've done well in a lot of the Olympic sports at Michigan State, but so a lot of people are thinking their Olympic sports are going to go away. And he had this vision for, you know, building a special facility for him and stuff. So maybe the stuff didn't really align. You have to have football right. And it's hard to probably get it right when, if you're going to have a, you know, issue with the boosters. And, you know, it seemed like Haller was in the right side of this, but, you know, the boosters are controlling a lot of it just because of the money. So I don't know. We'll see what ends up happening. Tom Izzo and, who else? There's, Jennifer Smith is going to serve as co-athletic interim directors. So, so she's one of the deputy athletic directors. And then Tom Izzo, of course, legendary head coach. Important, because Izzo is going to retire at some point. You want an AD in there to make your next basketball hire, which is huge for Michigan State.
For sure.
Yeah, cool stuff. Quick on the NFL draft. What do you have any thoughts? So the SEC had 79 picks, 15 in the first round. Big Ten was second with 71 picks, 11 in the first round. So both the two conferences represented well. The ACC was kind of a distant third with 42 picks and only two in the first round. But SEC and Big Ten dominated the first round. And Ohio State had 14, which is ridiculous. But Oregon had 10, Michigan had 7. Maryland had 6. They were awful. Penn State 5, UCLA 5. Iowa 5, then USC, Minnesota, Rutgers had 3, Nebraska, Indiana, Wisconsin had 2, and then Michigan State, Purdue, Illinois, and Washington each had 1.
Can you read off those schools that had 3 again?
USC, Minnesota, and Rutgers.
Okay. Those schools are all pretty, I mean, they're all kind of on the same tier, right?
Yeah, they're about like 2 picks behind at UCLA.
Yeah. You
know? Yeah.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
That seems like normal situation.
Maryland had 6.
Uh-huh.
Wait. Doesn't that happen in basketball too? Like Rutgers has like 2 lottery picks and they were bad, like in basketball. Like,
you could have predicted that preseason though.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because it's whenever you're trying to integrate a bunch of freshmen in a world where the transfer portal dominates, they've got to be you know, they've got to be Cooper Flagg. And, you know, those guys are really good. They're not Cooper Flagg. And they're also, you know, their coach isn't great. So, yeah, you could have predicted that. But thoughts on the NFL draft? Is that what you were asking me at the beginning?
I was, yeah.
It's not a shock that these two conferences produce the most NFL draft picks. It shouldn't be a shock to anybody because they have acquired most of the good programs in college football. Most of the ones that produce the most talent. So, you know, in this.
And if they don't get the talent right away, they'll get them for their like senior year.
Yeah. You know?
A lot of these picks are like, they only played their last year at this school. You know?
Yeah. It's cool. It's cool. It's cool. So how much of that, let's go back to our initial discussion. How much of that stupid stuff is also diminishing your, like, I don't know, general enthusiasm?
Oh, that's a really good point. So I'm cool. I like college football. I don't watch the games and stuff. I think the transfer portal, it kind of goes both ways. Does like Western Kentucky lose their super stud linebacker who would have been a good draft pick? But Western Kentucky also gets like the backup guy. You know, I was just talking to our contact at Kansas State because USC ended up hiring Kansas State's strength and conditioning coach. And yeah, Kansas State lost their quarterback to Ohio State, but they had a quarterback they liked better underneath. And their starting left tackle came from Ohio State, you know, one of their backups that couldn't get on the field. So I think there's stuff to gain both ways, you know? So I'm not someone that's like, oh, woe is me. I don't like seeing players get paid, or I don't like seeing players be able to transfer. I'd like a little bit more control over things, but it hasn't diminished I still love the sport. It's just doing 18 teams and there's not the history there that we had with the Pac-12. That's just been my biggest issue.
Yeah.
Are you like, do you hate the sport now? Like,
No. I don't hate it. It's very different. But I don't hate it. I think for me, it does come back mostly to just the teams themselves. Like I would rather cover, you know, the teams I have been familiar with for most of my, college football fandom. I don't know, but I think for like many fans out there, you know, I wrote our spring game recap and I'm, you know, listing off all these names and, you know, UCLA brought in a ton of transfers. So a lot of the guys who are going to play this year are transfers. And you know, reading the comments on our message board, it was all like, I don't even know who these people are. And well,
it's true.
Part of the problem is combined with that, because I think it would be one thing if you had the transfer portal and all this kind of stuff. But combined with that, coaches are getting even more paranoid. They're getting even more restrictive on information. So like a fan's ability to engage with who's on the team and, you know, what kind of scheme are they going to run and, you know, who should I be excited about or even getting to know you guys with interviews and stuff like that, it's not happening at anywhere near the rate it used to. And so I think it's just, you know, these programs are getting more distant from, I think, what made college football a little bit different from the NFL. And now it's much more NFL-ized, except you don't even have as much access as you have in the NFL.
Yeah.
Like, NFL opens up a lot of this stuff. NFL makes, you know, interviews an absolute requirement for a lot of these things. But because there is no, you know, NCAA-wide rule or FBS-wide rule on media access for a lot of this stuff, you end up with coaches operating in a vacuum, and they're all nutcases, every single one of them. And they behave like, you know, petty kings. And it just makes it, yeah, I think it's self-defeating. I mean, I obviously have a bias here because I'm a member of the media covering a team. And so it's better for me if there's stuff to cover.
Yeah.
But I also think it's just better for fans generally if they have stuff to consume in the offseason. And it's better for the sport generally if fans remain engaged in the offseason, because eventually, you know, I mean, I think a lot of fans, they like to watch on Saturdays. I think there's some fans who are really, really obsessive about it. And there are some fans who, okay, I'll watch like maybe three games in the year. And I can't help but think that like the more you diminish opportunities to engage with this stuff in the offseason, all those fans maybe go down a tier. And you get the super obsessives, like the ones on my message board who don't even know the players' names anymore. They go down a tier to just watching games on Saturdays.
Yeah.
And the ones who watch games on Saturdays, now maybe they watch three games. And the ones who watch three games, they're like, I don't even know. What sport is this? I'm not watching anything anymore. I'll go watch professional stuff. And it's just, it doesn't need to be like this. It's paranoia for paranoia's sake. Connor Stallions was a one-off, but also they do in-helmet communication now, so you're not even losing that bit. Everyone runs roughly the same plays. It's not like, you know, it's not like, oh man, they invented a new kind of route. They didn't. You still have to call a play, and you still have to know defensively how to adjust to what they're doing. And that can't come from, like, even if they signaled in a play, like, signaling in to your defense what play that is that's a lot of work. Even if you knew the play that was coming in, and with the helmet communication, you don't know that unless the offensive coordinator for the opposing team is incompetent to the point where they only have, like, two or three plays out of every formation. So you're not losing anything by just opening this stuff up and allowing people to watch practice, allowing people to engage with players who are, you know, being interviewed, you know, allowing fans to watch every spring, you know, practice. It's just, anyway, that's a long rant, but it's just, it just seems like we're just doing stuff that'll harm the sport and not like in the long term, like in the pretty immediate term.
Yeah, no, I agree. It's funny because USC has been getting a little more restrictive each time, but we've actually been able to work with the collective and get longer form interviews. So a lot of these transfers that USC brought in that are like one and done guys, I've had like 20, 30 minute interviews with them, like on a show like this. And it's been kind of cool for the fans to get to know them a little bit. So you get a little, you know, feel for like when Woody Marks came in last year, we did some interviews with him and everyone's like, oh my God, this kid's amazing. You know, he transferred in from Mississippi State and got his nickname because he loved Toy Story growing up and he dressed like a cowboy all the time. And like, you got to hear that where we didn't know much about this player before. And it kind of went over well. So I think you're doing yourself a disservice, but ratings are up, you know, like college football ratings are up. That might change though. I mean, like you're saying, it could change. We've seen like college basketball, like the regular season just erode. Like, I don't know if it's the one and done thing or whatever, but March Madness is still really popular. The playoffs are popular and the regular season is still popular for college football. So we have to, hopefully that doesn't change, but I think some of the things that are happening, there's risks of that happening.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, we will see on all of that. But the NFL draft, it happened.
It did. And Big Ten and the SEC got a lot of players drafted. You know what? You're not a big NBA guy, right? Like, you love college basketball, but you don't get in the NBA very much. Like,
yeah, I stopped watching. I was a big Lakers fan in like high school. I stopped watching the Lakers in 2004. And then I started watching them a little bit again when it was Pau Gasol on the teams. But that was just because I had a bunch of buddies who would, you know, we would go to a bar and watch the games. But no, I don't watch much NBA at all.
One thing, so I watch a bunch. My buddy works for the Lakers, and I started watching more. Probably the last few years, I've watched a lot more. I've gone to a lot of Laker games, and I've watched a bunch of just, I'll watch the playoffs and stuff. And every once in a while, you're like, oh, that guy's he's pretty much a star. Like, oh, that's Anthony Davis. Like, oh, where did he go to college? Oh, he went to Kentucky. Oh, wow, Jamal Murray. Like, him and Jokic, like, they're like this 1-2 amazing punch. Where? Oh, he went to Kentucky. Oh, like Devin Booker. Where, oh, you know, he went to Kentucky. Like, and you start going through the list. I'm like, holy crap. How did, like, there's so many stars in the NBA that went to Kentucky. How did they not win more championships? So it was like similar thing to what we were talking about with,
oh yeah,
you know, is that, it's like a thing, right? Like, there's a lot of dudes.
Yeah.
Julius Randle, Kentucky. Like, there's a lot of guys who went to Kentucky and somehow they just didn't win much. But one and done thing, like you said, like, it's tougher.
Tougher. I mean, I think the only true like full one and done team that Calipari won with at Kentucky was 2012, I want to say. But yeah, it's hard to win with a bunch of freshmen. It's just that was always going to be difficult. And I think it still is. And I think people adopting that strategy are, you're going to acquire talent, you're going to get them to the NBA, but you're going to have a hard time winning if that's the base of your team.
Yeah. We did have a news cycle while we were absent that kept things interesting for a while, David. The Nico saga, and ends up going to UCLA.
Iamaliava.
You spelled his name wrong in the doc, by the way, or in the
did I? Mm-hmm. I probably spelled it too quickly.
You had an E-A at the end instead of just an A.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I haven't done that one before.
That's okay.
That's a new error.
You actually capitalize. Okay, so Dave's like forgot more about grammar than I'll ever know, being the engineer person. But you capitalize things like athletic director, which I do not. Like, I'll do like head coach Lincoln Riley. But
you're assuming I put any thought into this whatsoever. Okay. So where I put athletic director, that is because it is. Like, I was doing that as, like, kind of proper nounage. If I was referring to generically Michigan State's athletic director, then I would put it lowercase. But it's, like, his title, so I'm doing it. I don't know. It might not be correct.
I didn't think you had to. And you also capitalize all this stuff in the subject. Every, like, first word, like, the first letter of every word in your subject.
Mm.
I don't do that either.
But, well, that's just title case. Some people don't.
Okay. But it was just, but you did spell Nico's name wrong. But anyway, that was like, that kind of kept us alive for a while. Like, what's going to happen with Nico? Like, really, the first huge NIL contract we heard of, the people that are like, how is a high school player going to make $8 million and blah, 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 blah. And then the $2.5 million he was going to make at Tennessee was apparently not enough. So if I'm looking to get a raise, I'm only making $2.5 million as a junior college football player. Mm-hmm. You know where I'm going?
That's right.
UCLA.
That's right, baby. Daddy Warbucks over here.
So, give your thoughts on all this.
Yeah. So I'm not going to claim to know the dynamics of what was going on with Tennessee because I don't want a bunch of Vol fans just absolutely
going
to find me and murder me. So I'm not going to claim any inside knowledge there. I've only heard the same he said, she said of everyone. I know the Iamaliavas say it really had nothing to do with money. I know common sense and everyone else says it had a lot to do with money. But I'll be honest with you. I don't think he's getting more at UCLA. And so if it was about money, may have overplayed his hand. What I will concede is that it was probably a multifaceted decision because $2.5 million is a lot of dollars. That is a lot of money. And if you're making a choice not to have $2.5 million and just hope on the open market that you'll get more in April, there had to have been something else causing a relationship break too. And so I know there's some Vol fans who say, oh, Nico is going to get benched anyway. Maybe that's true, but he also threw 19 touchdowns and 5 interceptions in the SEC, so I actually don't believe that. But there was something. I think we can all agree there was probably something besides everybody in this situation behaving extremely irrationally, because expecting in April again that you would get more than $2.5 million from anybody was probably a mistake, because most teams at that point, whether or not they're really sold on their quarterback, they're committed to them.
Yeah.
And it's.
They've already paid. They've, like, you know.
Yeah. What UCLA had was a situation where Joey Aguilar, the quarterback that they had in for spring, I watched. So they only had 4 open spring practices. We only got to observe one before this all went down. But I watched that one, and Joey Aguilar did not look good.
Okay.
And so if. And from what I understand from multiple people around the program, didn't look good in a lot of offseason stuff, like just not processing great, not throwing it great. Just, and some of that is learning a new offense. I don't want to, like, I'm not trying to kill the kid. I hope he works out at Tennessee. But I think UCLA was getting more and more convinced it needed a different answer at quarterback for next year. So I think it was a marriage of circumstance. And also the fact that Nico is a Southern California native. I think it worked out with UCLA for all of those reasons. But I don't think this is a situation where UCLA was like, okay, we'll pay you $4 million a year.
No way.
Fairly damn certain it's not.
No, I think he took a pay cut to go to UCLA.
So,
but it's home too.
Yeah.
It's local.
What that changes for UCLA is obviously pretty significant. And I know, again, Tennessee fans have their own take on Nico, and a lot of fans who watch the SEC have their own take on Nico. But I want to tell you, as somebody who follows UCLA, even if all of that is true, even if he did struggle against good teams, even if he did struggle in, you know, these high leverage moments, still a lot better than whatever UCLA was going to throw out there this year. Like, a lot better. Probably better than what they had in Ethan Garber's last year, too. You know, a true NFL potential, even if, again, it might not fully work out, but NFL potential. So I think this, a lot of things still have to come together, but I think it does raise the ceiling for the offense for UCLA this year. The offense was terrible last year. Nico can move, which is important because the offensive line still is, I think it's improved from last year, but I think it's still probably pretty average. He can move a little bit. And can obviously throw it. I know, again, some deep balls were a little overshot, but he can throw it. And UCLA has some talented receivers who can, you know, catch the ball and make plays downfield. It's really going to come down to protection, whether he'll be protected enough. But I think it's obviously a good move for UCLA. It was a gamble they needed to take. I think it's one of the most important things Deshaun Foster has done so far at UCLA, and it is a gamble. I mean, whenever you're signing a quarterback to start for next year that isn't going to be coming in until June, that's a gamble. But if it works out, it's definitely worth the risk. And the risk is what? You end up with a slightly, like, say Nico not working out is still probably about the same as what Joey Aguilar was going to bring to you. And then on top of it, you know, UCLA is probably getting his brother too. Hasn't been, I guess, officially signed yet, but that one's going to be done too.
He's at Arkansas? Is that?
Technically, he entered the transfer portal.
Okay. So
he's at the portal. Just hasn't announced, but he's more than likely coming to UCLA.
Johnny wants to know, do you like Nico's deep balls?
Yes.
Nice. Okay. No, yeah, I think it's a good move for UCLA. Like, it's one of those things. I think his camp, whatever you want to say, completely overplayed their hand. And when you're already getting, I think he had a great deal at Tennessee, and maybe you could have got more. What was it? Carson Beck went to Miami, and people said he got maybe like $4 million. And when you've already pushed the envelope, and you're like the highest, you know. You've had the best NIL deal that was like publicly out there. If you want more than that, I think that's a tough sell, especially with the timing when it would have been tough in April. But for UCLA, you're not paying Tennessee prices to get him. So you're getting him cheaper than what Tennessee was going to pay him this year. High, you know, profile quarterback, local kid. Like that, I think it makes a lot of sense for UCLA. I think if you were like Oregon and you paid the $3.5 million or something to get them, there's a little pressure on you to be like, hey, you went out and like outspent a big spender in Tennessee to get their quarterback. Now this better work out, because everyone knows you've put a lot of resources into that. So I don't see as much downside for UCLA. Like, if it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out.
They had to do it. And so, you know, I think it does raise the ceiling for the offense. And, you know, I think there's still probably a bowl-ish team. Like, that's, I think, 6 wins, give or take one, yeah, is probably the thing this year. But, you know, quarterback like Nico, if it all comes together for him, that's one of those sort of rising tides that could lift all boats type deal. So yeah, you got to do it. Got to see if it'll work out.
Cool. I think that's all I had for
topics.
For my topics.
And I put none in the dock, so.
You contribute nothing, so that's good. You
know? Yeah, true.
It's so funny, as we're sitting down, Dan Wetzel, who I used to like, he was with Yahoo for years and years. He's now ESPN. Did you follow him at all? Did you like Wetzel much? Or?
I am not familiar with, I mean, not, I don't have an opinion about him. I know, okay, there are some people who really don't like him, but I don't have an opinion.
I've said, liked him, and he wrote a bunch of books. He wrote like Death to the BCS back in the day, and I think he's been right about a lot of the stuff. He always crushes the bowl people, because like the bowl, people want to keep the bowls alive, and it's like, what are you doing this for? Like, you just put on-campus playoff games or whatever. But he put a piece out. He's with ESPN now. And you remember like the Larry Nassar stuff at Michigan State? So this might have been – I don't think it was part of it too. It wasn't part of Haller's but like that was 7 or 8 years ago, and apparently Michigan State was very, like, kind of adversarial towards all the victims. Nassar was, you know, with USA Olympics, but also with Michigan State, And, you know, there was a ton of victims from that. And apparently Michigan State really just kind of ignored them for years and years. But now they've come to the table and reached out and could try to come up with some ways forward. But I thought that was kind of interesting too, which is weird. Like, this is happening as the AD is going out. I don't know. Like, I think the quote was like, it's never the wrong time to do the right thing. But, you know, you would have liked them to do this like 8 years ago. But I think a lot of the victims felt that they were just ignored by Michigan State
for way too long.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but that was kind of going on in the Michigan State Athletic Department too.
Yeah. A lot of mess, and how much of it was on Holler, who knows, but it's not, again, not a surprise.
Yeah. But that was before his time when that was that going on, but, you know, reaching out and stuff. All right. Why don't we take a quick break and we'll come back and do some questions. All righty, we're back here on the podcast of champions. We got a voicemail, David. I haven't listened to it. Just got it while the show was recording. Should we play it?
Let's go.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Perk. Glad to know you guys are alive. Been really concerned. You know, without your recaps of spring football games this year, I really didn't get my pressing info on items such as what's going to be the 2-deep for Purdue's offensive line or who's going to be the second string quarterback for Rutgers. So glad you guys are back. Dave, I have a book recommendation for you. I know a while back you said you didn't know anything about the history of Canada, and recently read a book called The Penguin History of Canada. And it's really good, really informative. When it talks about how they merged the French settlements and the British settlements. You know, they learned this lesson where if you incorporate the minority, let them do things like run for office or have a say in their local governments, violence doesn't break out. But anyway, I'm an American and that stuff sounds kind of candy ass. Anyway, my question for you guys is about Deshaun Foster and this incredible run that he's been on. He got one of the best quarterback commits in the state of California to go to UCLA. And he did it with this weird strategy where he plays for an SEC school for 2 years. And I don't know the context as to why he's at UCLA. I'm sure it doesn't matter. But with that kind of accomplishment, you know, Chip Kelly showed how hard it was just to get middling talent to UCLA. Lifetime extension, you guys think? Is he in that territory? Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Burke. What do you think? It's been a while since you got one of those.
He gave me a good history recommendation. He gave me a great clowning on our American way of life bit. And then he just knifed me. Like, just a dagger right to the stomach.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I don't think we're in lifetime extension territory.
Is there a hot seat kind of thing? Like, what?
No. No.
When is he going to get? Like, at least 3 years to figure stuff out? Or
not? Well, so here's what I think. If this year is middling, I think then it becomes kind of a third year. All right, something needs to happen now.
Okay.
And it's only if this year goes really badly that I think third year becomes kind of that hot seat year.
Oh, okay.
I think it's if this year is middling, then next year it's like, okay, this is a prove it year. And then if that doesn't work out, then I think the fourth year is the 100% hot seat year. But I mean, the thing is, UCLA hasn't had a change in AD. An AD firing a coach he hired is usually hard to do. Firing an alum is usually hard to do. Firing a beloved alum is usually hard to do. So I will say, from like a contract perspective, it won't be hard to get out from under it if and when that needs to happen. But no, I don't think that's imminent in any realm of the imagination. It would take this year going much worse than people expect.
Okay. So then closer to lifetime extension.
I wouldn't go that far.
Oh, okay.
Ryan, as the man is 44 and a lifetime extension.
Yeah.
Yeah.
44, nice.
Yeah, I think he's 44, 45.
All right.
So only a few years older than me. Similar walks of life, similar, I would say, success levels in our respective industries.
How many years in the NFL did you play?
Many. You're talking about Madden, right?
Yeah. I've simulated many seasons.
Many, many seasons. I've dominated free agency.
Should we start with the emails?
Sure.
I think What If is the first one. Do you want to do it? You want me to do it?
I would love to.
Okay.
This is from Mark in Vancouver. What If? Hi there, champions. I can only assume your lengthy absence from our podcast feeds is due to one of Ryan's vacations going terribly wrong and David had to come to the rescue. If that's the case, I hope both of you have made it back from El Salvador safely. Now for the real stuff. In a different universe, the Pac-12 adds Oklahoma, Texas, Texas Tech, and Oklahoma State in 2010 to become the Pac-16. Fast forward to 2022, Ohio State and Michigan shock the college football world and announce that they would join the Pac-16, which leads to the eventual collapse of the Big Ten Conference. The question to you is, which conferences do the remaining teams end up? If we've learned anything from the Pac-12's demise, neither historical rivals nor geography will dictate where schools will end up. I'll even make it easy for you and list those teams here. Michigan State, Penn State, Wisconsin, Minnesota, Nebraska, Iowa, Indiana, Purdue, Maryland, Rutgers, Illinois, Northwestern. So it's the same deal. So this is a really interesting question because what happened to Oregon State, Washington State, Stanford, and Cal? Stanford and Cal had to take a miserable deal to go to the ACC.
Yeah.
And Oregon State and Washington State found no suitors. Here's the thing about the Big Ten. If they weren't part of the Big Ten, there are about eight teams in that league, six, all right, let's say six, that are Oregon State and Washington State. Like, they would not have suitors if they weren't already part of the thing. Like, if they weren't already grandfathered into one of the conglomerates, they would not be there. And those six, let's go, Northwestern, Illinois, Rutgers, Maryland,
Purdue,
Indiana.
Yeah.
And frankly, Iowa, Nebraska, Minnesota, I mean, Nebraska for sure gets a spot. Iowa, I mean, okay. The other six are safe. The six at the bottom though, they're going to the MAC or something. Like, it's not good.
Well, I think there's enough strength left that they could just stay. Like, you could just, I don't know if they would have to disperse.
Right, like, right. Yeah, no, like, that's exactly right. Like, Oregon and Washington, that's enough to keep the Pac-10 together. Like,
right.
That's fine.
So if the...
But Penn State goes somewhere.
Right.
Penn State goes SEC or ACC immediately, right? Whichever one is the major power in this new world where the Pac-12 ended up being a big thing.
What if the Pac-12 offers Penn State and, like, Michigan State a half share?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And then what? You're going to have Wisconsin be the, like,
yeah,
I think Wisconsin and Nebraska? No, it would be the exact same thing in reverse.
Yeah, I think you had to lose Penn State to make that there.
Yeah, because Penn State is Oregon and Michigan State here would be Washington.
Sure. Let's do that. So let's say the Pac-12 gets those two at half price.
Yeah.
Now it's going to be a fire sale.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I don't know what, like, Wisconsin, like, I think you got to go Wisconsin, Minnesota, maybe Wisconsin, Minnesota, Nebraska, Iowa, do the ACC. The ACC makes, like, a power move for those four that are left. The SEC might be looking at Nebraska, but they wouldn't want, so the ACC does a package deal with those four. How you like that?
I love it.
Okay. So there's some, yeah, okay, so. Then they're all off the table. Now we got the six that you were talking about. Where are you going to go? Indiana, probably the most appealing because of the basketball thing. Would Indiana and Maryland go to the ACC also? Maybe they go to the ACC as a half share. Like, they do the Cal Stanford thing. Indiana, Maryland to the ACC. ACC makes a power move.
Mm-hmm.
They're the Cal Stanfords.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So they go for, like, a discount or whatever. Yeah. So that leaves you.
So who goes Big 12? Like, who are we deciding there?
Oh, yeah, we could have did some Big 12. Why don't we say this? Why don't we say the Big 12 makes the Michigan State, Penn State, Wisconsin, Minnesota one? Do you like that better? They make the power move?
No, because they would have to be early. Yeah, maybe. Okay.
Not Penn State, Wisconsin. The Pac-12. Penn State, Michigan State, the Pac-12 got those.
Yeah, and then Wisconsin, Nebraska,
Minnesota, and Iowa go to the Big 12.
Perfect.
So they make a power move.
Yeah.
Your Mark, who just got an extension, does that. Indiana, Purdue, the ACC was like, nah, they were like a little hesitant to add anybody, but they'll add those two schools, basketball.
No, it'd be Indiana and Maryland, because ACC history.
Yes, I'm sorry.
But then Purdue, Rutgers, and Illinois and Northwestern are done.
They are the Pac-12.
They're macking it.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
All right. I like that. Okay, I think that's how it'd play out.
Yep.
Good stuff. Let's go. Keon in the Bay Area, first year reflections. It's now been one full season since you guys decided to become a Big Ten podcast to stop covering 10 of the previous 12 teams you knew and loved. Well, actually, 8, because we got Oregon and Washington too. And to start covering 16 teams, 14, whose names all start with the letter I or M. What are your thoughts? There's a lot of I's and M's in the Big Ten. What are your thoughts on this decision in hindsight? Was the switch easier or harder than you expected? Did you get any enjoyment from covering the new teams? And lastly, given the performance of both UCLA and USC this past season, do you regret not choosing to become a Big 12 podcast instead?
What are my thoughts on this decision in hindsight? I still think it was the best decision we could make with limited viable options. The other option would have been to not do anything at all.
Yeah.
Was the switch easier or harder than you expected? I won't say it was any easier or harder. It was just more boring and not as fun as I wanted it to be. 3, did you get any enjoyment from covering the new teams? I mean, any is a very soft phrase. Like, any? Sure. Did I get more enjoyment than I did from covering the Pac-12 teams? Absolutely not.
Yeah.
None. And part of it is when you're covering 18 teams, you're almost like veering into just being a national podcast because, again, we joke about the fact that we don't know anything about the Pac-12 teams like for many, many years, but we still had a pretty good understanding of every one of the Pac-12 teams and we knew like jokes about all the Pac-12 teams.
Yeah.
Like, dude, like some of these Big Ten teams, it was like, man, I watched the game, but like I can't consume. I've got a full-time job. Like I can't consume like a bunch of content about Michigan State right now. So that was challenging and not as fun. And lastly, given the performance of both UCLA and USC this past season, do you regret not choosing to become a Big 12 podcast instead? No, what I regret is UCLA and USC choosing to be part of the Big 10. That's what I regret.
Yeah.
But that's what I was immediately regretting from the minute they did this.
Yeah, we couldn't have done a Big 12. The only thing we could have done is just cover the former Pac-12 teams. And there'd be some interesting storylines, you know, like Utah fell off, Colorado, there was a lot of interesting stuff there. You know, Arizona State obviously making the playoffs, like that was cool. With Arizona, I mean, Cal and Stanford were kind of like, that was rough. You know, that's a rough flight and everything. Oregon State, Washington State, you know, God love them, but like, you know, on the CW and, yeah, I think it would have just been tough to do anything else than what we did. I agree with you. I think we made the right decision, but the only other good decision would have been to just stop. And it's tough. It's just, it's not as fun. The whole point of the show is we just have a good time. And the only reason we're doing this like right now is because the listeners are still super fun. But there was this bond that we had with everybody. If you were Arizona Wildcat fan, or you were Oregon State Beaver, and that, you know, to be able to see those people in the chat and engage with them and all of that, the Cal Stanford, you know, the 3 Stanford fans, and, you know, just there was just something beautiful about it all. And then it just got blown up, you know, and it's just not been as fun, you know, covering the Big Ten. Now we are in the center of Big Ten country here,
obviously,
in Los Angeles.
Obviously.
The best sports, time zone there is.
Very clearly.
Duh. Some people think the central, like, no way.
You're high as balls. Like, you're out of your fucking mind. Sorry, Griffin.
you did a couple of balls. We've been out for months, so you've been swear-free for months. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's a great email, Keon, and definitely reflecting on it. But he seemed to forget that Oregon and Washington came too.
Correct.
Yeah. Got one more.
This is from Jamie. Hello, old friends. Rain and dive. As a fan of a former Pac-12 team that didn't get invited to the Big Ten, sadly, I have lost track of this glorious podcast. As punishment, feel free to skip this email if you read it before the show. like that would happen. You've now experienced a full Big Ten season of football and that other sport that I can't remember what it's called, but it has an orange ball and I think has something to do with peach baskets. How would you rate the first year in the Big Ten? Not from a USC or UCLA perspective, but yours as a fan and also covering the team. On the one hand, you got to experience something that hadn't happened in the last 20 years of the Pac-10-12, a national championship. But on the other hand, traditional rivalries were replaced with a handful of games that, the last time I heard, you guys weren't too excited about. Keep up the work. Well, okay, so this is more on the field. I'm going to try to be judicious here.
Okay.
Some of it was interesting. Some of it was kind of fun in this sort of surreal way. Like UCLA going to Penn State, that was interesting. Okay, fun. Going to Rutgers, not so much. Like, that's just, okay. You know, going to Nebraska, that was something they'd done a couple of times in non-conference. And maybe it was part of my lack of enthusiasm going into it, so I want to be fair there, because I think for some fans it was probably very cool. I just think with where UCLA is specifically situated in the college football world right now, it's not as fun as it would have been if this was happening, say, even, you know, 10 years ago, when UCLA had some real talent and some potential. But, like, watching them go and, like, not get completely mollywopped by Penn State and only lose by, like, whatever it ended up being, like, 16. I mean, how enjoyable is that? Like, you want to go into these games.
But going to Nebraska, getting a win, that'd be big.
I mean, yeah, I mean, it was, but part of a 5-7 season.
Yeah.
It's just, I guess my point is, like, it's one thing to get excited about these road games when you have a chance of winning, like the big ones, like the marquee ones. But as part of a conference where you're going to have to play similar situated teams every year and the program is at its, I won't say its absolute lowest ebb, but one of its lowest ebbs in history. Not great.
Yeah, timing wasn't great.
Bad timing. And I don't think it's great timing for USC. I know USC fans had a different appraisal of things going into this. And I know you had like a traveling road show of people coming out to away games for most of the season.
Yeah, that was fun.
But also USC not at like its highest ebb ever. And so going into a lot of games where, you know, losing at Maryland, like.
Yeah, that was rough.
Not anyone's idea of a good time.
Yeah.
Playing at Maryland is not really, and again, no offense to Maryland fans, but it's not like you're going to Ohio State. It's going to Maryland.
Yeah. And it's weird because USC went to Vegas and beat LSU. Then there was, the expectations were super high. And then they go out and they don't win a Big Ten road game until UCLA, which doesn't really count because it's not, you know, you're driving. You're not even flying there.
And it was like 19-13.
Yeah.
Like a fake win. It was almost like a win for UCLA.
Yeah. Personally, with extension, full, you know, like
exactly,
lifetime extension for. I mean, it actually was cool for me because I stayed at my sister's house for the Maryland game. Best friends from college lived in Minnesota, got to stay there, and I'd never been to the big house. Got to go to Michigan, you know. So like the trips were pretty cool. This year, like I have good friends in Nebraska. I went to that game. USC played there like 20 years ago. So that'll be all right. Three of my flights are going to be to Chicago because USC plays Notre Dame, Illinois, and Purdue. I've not been to Illinois or Purdue, but, you know, three trips to Chicago, though. There's this bar that we do our gatherings in, so I'll have the same bar three different times during the season. That'll be kind of fun, I guess. Going to Oregon, that's always cool. But, yeah, like, I'm, you know, this year will not be as cool probably as last year for me travel, but I think for the fans sometimes, like if you get a cool, you get to go to Penn State or you get to go to Michigan, like something that's like kind of bucket list for a lot of people, that's good. But, you know, Rutgers isn't a bucket list trip. You know, I get it. So having a little bit of mix of, you know, I went to Seattle last year. Cool. Going to Eugene this year, like that'll be cool. But it's tougher. I mean, there's a lot of multi time zone trips to take every year. And I felt tired just traveling all that much. You know, I was like, holy crap. Like usually do one every other year. Like you go to Notre Dame, you know, I would cover. And now you're going to have like four or five trips that go to the East Coast or whatever. It's like, man, that's a lot.
Yeah, no, it is. And, you know, you're getting long in the tooth.
I am.
I mean, you're what? You're like 72?
I'm 54, but yes.
Damn.
Very, very old.
Yeah. Yeah, your body just doesn't move the way it used to. Mm. You know, you can't get out and do things the way you used to. It's time to probably move to like Arizona for the hot weather. You know, it'll take care of that arthritis, keep you fit as a fiddle into your golden years here.
Yeah. Gopher Insight says, holy cow, these guys still have jobs. maybe you'll win some road games this year. Hey, UCLA beat Nebraska. That was real. Says I have some Minnesota in me. I look 72, but a young 72. Thank you. There's like a lot of good stuff.
That's very sweet.
There's some sweet stuff there. We do have some questions in the chat. I had an Amy one up, but then I put up Gopher Insights stuff, so I'll have to go find it. But in the meantime, West Texas Mike, I need a hot take on Stanford and Troy Taylor. So new general manager, Andrew Luck fires Troy Taylor. David forgot that he was hired, so I don't know if you remember about the firing.
Yeah, he was fired. This was actually, was it just after we recorded our last show? It was March, wasn't it? Before spring ball started?
Yeah, I think so.
Just
yeah.
after spring ball started? Yeah, Andrew Luck, who is apparently one of the few general managers with authority over the head coach, fired him for bullying. He was bullying members of the athletic department and was apparently a huge asshole to work with. So, yeah, sayonara Troy Taylor. You know, what's interesting is that when UCLA hired Deshaun Foster, Troy Taylor was one of the candidates that UCLA vetted and like actually kind of made it through the vetting process, which how about that vetting process right there? Mm. But yeah, Troy Taylor, happy trails or not so happy. Apparently you're a dick.
Yeah. Apparently you're a dick. Amy in the chat, in your ideal football world, how many transfer portals would you open and when?
Okay. You would ideally want a portal window for after, probably, you'd want like a short one right after probably the New Year's Day games, because you got to figure anybody who's going into the Natty to actually play would probably be fine to like, you know.
But yeah, having it in December just sucks, I think.
It sucks because you get guys leaving potential playoff teams who would otherwise be big parts of those playoff teams. I mean, famous one this year was Bo Pribula.
Yeah.
So that's a problem. So I think kicking it a little bit later, and then also it allows coaches to focus a little bit more on first high school recruiting, which is also that same time period.
Yes. Too much stuff going on then.
And preparing their teams for bowl games. So if you're going to have a period after the season, which you probably should, it should be like a week right after the New Year's Day games. So get it done right after those, because those are the semifinals, right? Every year?
Yeah.
Okay. So get it done then. And then another window. I think opening it in April is stupid.
Okay.
Probably open up another window like in mid-May.
Yeah.
Mid-May to like early June and give guys time to find another place after the full completion of spring ball, after they've shown everything they can show. And they know where they stand. That gets them in time for, you know, off-season workouts, the whole thing. But I think two windows, the one big one right after the bowl games, and I think that would be a crazy week, an absolutely insane week for a lot of teams, but that's fine.
Not during the freaking playoffs and all that, you know.
I mean, it would be for two teams, but if you're in the Natty, you can...
Yes.
If you're in the Natty, you can suck it, all right? So... Yeah, do that and then have another one in, you know, between mid-May and mid-June.
Yeah. You can't have like the signing period and the portal and all that stuff all at the same time. It's like insane. So yeah. I'd like the signing period moved.
Well, they would also like, and that's
back
the
to
thing.
February and then do like an earlier one.
Yeah. If you move the signing period, I mean, do the earlier one in like June too. Like have the high school signing period, have like an early signing period.
I was thinking like August or something.
Whatever, yeah. Sometime over the summer.
Yeah, before like the high school season.
Because the guys who are going to get it done early are going to get it done early.
Right. That's what they intended for the early signing period, but it ends up being
everyone.
Effective. Yeah.
Because they all want to secure their spots. But if it's truly early before you've even played your senior year, that will require college programs to hopefully be more strategic.
Yeah.
Because they'll want to see, okay, what are the soon-to-be seniors actually going to do in their season? So the only guys you would take that early would be like, you know, your quarterback you probably take early, and a true like star player you might take early. But for the most part, you're going to be probably in wait-and-see mode with a lot of guys.
Yeah. And you don't want to sign, like you'd rather sign out of high school knowing who's transferred in. So if you were like, oh, they lost their quarterback, I'm going to sign there. But, oh, they had two quarterbacks transfer in. Like, okay, yeah. Well, maybe not do that. So
exactly.
Eric, we got a couple more and we'll get out of here. Eric says, are you guys buying the Penn State hype? I know they have a lot of returners, but I'm not sold on Drew Aller or really Franklin. I mean, I think the formula is very similar to what Michigan had a couple of years ago and Ohio State this year. And I think Ohio State proved you can win spending NIL money. But it wasn't like they signed a bunch of guys. They got some, but they really kept dudes that were going to leave and go to the NFL and be like a mid-round pick. And if you can keep a lot of those guys, like you lose Abdul Carter, but you got so many dudes back. Tyler Warren obviously is a big deal, but you know, I kind of like the formula. Aller hasn't been super impressive to me, but you know. Did Ohio State have like the most impressive quarterback play this last year? No, I think they just got a lot of dudes back. I think there's real hype for Penn State. I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's totally legitimate. They return a bunch of their defense and a bunch of their offense. I mean, Nick Singleton and Katron Allen are both back, correct?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So you had them. You have Drew Aller. I mean,
they added some receivers in the portal, which they need. They just had terrible wide receiver play.
Drew Aller, like, I think he tanked a little bit, especially at the end of last year, and that was unfortunate. But you can't argue with experience, and he's played a ton of football at this point, and quarterback is one of those positions that is really, really rewarding for those who are experienced. So I wouldn't rule him out. I was really high on him entering this year, and I don't see any reason not to be high on them again next year.
Yeah.
Like I think Abdul Carter is really good, but I also think they have a bunch of really good defensive players.
They do have a ton.
I mean, Denai Dennis Sutton is back too. So there's a lot of good talent on that Penn State team. I think they're going to be a playoff team again.
Yeah. And they, you know, made it to the semifinals. I could see them making a run like that again. Johnny, now that you guys know every little thing about each Big Ten coach, are you ready to do your Disney princess comparisons? No, and that's the other thing too, is like when you're doing 12, like it got long to do 12, but we would get through 12. Like getting through 18 is a lot.
Well, and again, it goes back to the familiarity thing. Like I don't know enough about the Big Ten programs, and I'm never going to, like, that's the thing, and this is the kind of realization I came to, is like I'd have to like read a book about Rutgers football, like to really like get steeped in it in any kind of way. I know Cal football. Like, yeah. I know the whole stupid thing. Like, I know everything about it. I know all the, you know, people up on Tightwad Hill watching the stupid game. Like, I get it. I get Washington State. Like, I get all these programs at a level that I am never going to get Rutgers. And so, like,
yeah,
it's just, it's not as.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway.
It's tougher. But thanks, Johnny. And then one last one. Go for insight. How much did David Woods contribute to Nico's NIL deal at UCLA?
That'd be $0. I have, as an alumnus of UCLA, I think I have given, it might be like $50, and that might have been,
wow,
20 years ago? Something? No, not 20, because I graduated 17 years ago. So it would have been like maybe 15 years ago. Because they kept annoying me, and I was like, okay, fine, here you go. And that is, I think, the only amount I've ever contributed to the university in any way.
Yeah, crazy. Like
Ryan, on the other hand, is one of USC's biggest boosters.
No, you'd have to be rich, and I'm not. But I would say I did stuff like for my class reunion, so I gave like donations, but not to the athletic department, to like the school. When I was, they've had me on the last two like reunion committees. 25 and 30 year committees, David.
That's
crazy. So I've got involved.
When's
with
the
that
big 50 year happening? Is that tomorrow or no,
that's later that's, this month? That's in 20 years. I just had the 30.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, like, but for covering the team, yeah, we, like, you're not, you don't want to be involved with athletics at all, you know?
You want to hear like a great depiction of the alumni for both USC and UCLA. And I know this is an old trope, but you're talking about reunions for college. And I'm like, I don't even think UCLA has them.
Really?
Like maybe they do, but I don't, I've never heard about them. I've never even been invited to one. Like, I do not think they actually exist. I think there was a Daily Bruin reunion, maybe, but I don't think it was tied to a specific class of Daily Bruin people. I think it was just literally anybody who was ever with the Daily Bruin, come here and we're going to ask you for money, was basically the upshot of it. But like a class reunion, like a 08 class reunion, I've never heard of this.
John says his dad's about to go to, I'm sorry, wrong one. His dad's going to go to 65th high school reunion.
I haven't attended a single one of my high school
reunions. I was going to say, so you wouldn't be the candidate because you don't even go to high school reunions and you literally live in the same town you went to high school in. Like,
Well, actually, my entire class, I don't think there was a 20-year reunion.
Really?
Yeah. I don't think it happened.
So you have a whole lot of David Woods's in class.
Well, like, look, I'm just saying, Joe Song, president, what were you doing, buddy? It's your job.
Yeah.
That was a call out.
Call him out.
To a high school classmate I haven't spoken to in about 20 years.
There you go.
Yeah.
We'll have to see. Any Bruins in the chat, let you know. We got one last one and we'll get you guys out of here. Johnny, this is better. We're only three coaches, not 18. If you guys were to have a couple beers with three Big Ten coaches of your choice, who are you choosing?
Okay. Obviously, neither of us will be drinking a beer with either of the head coaches we cover.
No.
Dan Lanning, I've heard, is just kind of a nutcase, but that might be fun. Jed Fish?
Maybe. Dylan says Johnny, Bielema, Cignetti for sure.
Bielema for sure. Bielema would be a lot of fun.
I think Cignetti could be fun.
Maybe. He's a little too intense for me.
Yeah, for like beer.
Yeah. Ryan Day?
I mean, there'd be some good stories there.
James Franklin would not be fun.
No, not James Franklin.
Sharone Moore?
I think Dan Lanning might be there.
Dan Lanning?
I think for a beer is like...
Loxley?
I mean, look at this guy. Do you not want to have a beer with this guy? Come on.
Yeah, you want to have a beer with that guy.
Yeah.
Shiano might be fun.
Oh, yeah, Shiano. He could be good, yeah.
Kirk Ferentz?
No.
No?
No, I don't want to have a Kirk Ferentz, no.
What a picture.
Yeah. You want Johnny?
No. No Jonathan Smith.
David Braun?
Maybe David Braun.
Okay.
Probably throw him back.
He could do a look. Shiano, I think it'd be fun. I think I'm going to go Landanning. You know?
Yeah, Land Danning's up there.
PJ Fleck?
No.
That's not a good
hang right there.
Loxley? No. But is he still there?
Bielema. Bielema. Come on.
Bielema, yeah. Do I have that one?
I don't know. Do you?
I got Bielema. Yeah, he's definitely a good one to have a beer with, I think.
All right, I'm going Bielema, Braun, and Dan Lanning.
All right.
Landanning.
Perfect. There you go. Yeah. He has to bring a cigar.
Yep.
And cool. All right.
Well, this has been enjoyable.
It's going to wrap it up. You look like you're sunk there. You look like
to. Dude, I don't know what's going on. I think it's your camera setup. This is where I always sit, but it's, you know, I haven't been here in a while, I guess.
Yeah.
So you're not set up for me anymore.
Johnny says PJ Fleck looks like a PC principal.
Yeah.
From South Park. Yeah. Kind of does. All right. Speaking of sucks, we suck. We haven't done a show for a couple months.
We're probably not going to do another one next week, just so you know.
Yeah. I don't know when we're going to do another one.
Might be July.
If we're going to do another one. But well, maybe before Big Ten Media Day. You're going to go, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So maybe we'll do like a special, like this will be like kind of a special thing. Like we'll do specials every now and then.
Yeah. But we got to do something from Vegas, of course. Yeah. And drinking. Like that would be good too. Get on Radio Row and just like interview a bunch of people.
It could be fun.
It'd be a lot of fun. All right. For David Woods, I am Ryan Abraham. Hope you guys enjoyed the show. Thank you for tuning in, and we will talk to you next time.
Bye forever.